always feel like I should do a little dance for you when that song comes on. It would not be pretty. Let me pray for us real quick. God, would you, as that song sang earlier, would you speak to us today? And God, you have a word for every single person in this room today. And I don't know how you do it through your spirit. But God, through even the words that come out of my mouth, that you would speak directly to hearts and awaken, God, awaken things inside of us that we didn't even know was there, and that you would just speak so clearly to us, and that we would have ears to hear and hearts to hear and ready to respond to you, God, today. Thank you for wanting to talk to us, for desiring, for bending the knee to hear us. And for you to speak to us. Would you do that today? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, today we've been talking about this series, Eat This Book. And if you've been around for the last few weeks, you will know that we've been talking about this, that this is a book that God has authored, that he has breathed his breath of life into this book, that it is alive, that it is active, that it will change your life. That, think about this. The God of the universe wants to encounter you through these pages. And we're not just talking about reading this book. We're talking about eating this book, that devouring it, allowing it to become a part of us. That we need to develop this spiritual habit of eating this daily. Now, if you maybe this is the first time you're here, you've missed part of the series, and let me just tell you that, you know, if you want to go back and you missed week one or two or three or all of it, you can go to their website. You can go to discovertogether.com and you can watch the videos. If you can catch up there, you can download the podcast, get it right there on your phone, and you can work out and listen to the messages and all that kind of stuff. That's all there for you for free. We'd like to have that available to you. But week one, let me do a quick review. Week one of the series, we talked about the importance of developing the spiritual habit of eating this book. That what's not helpful is, like, you know, on New Year's Eve, when you say, you know, this year, I am going to lose 50 pounds. You know, or this year, I'm going to read the entire book of the Bible, but I'm going to do it in a month. And then you blow it, and you feel guilty, and you're like, I'm just awful at this. And you think, this is who I am. But what's more helpful is that every single day, just making that simple choice, today I'm going to spend 10 minutes in God's Word. And the next day. And the next day. And Todd is right. We did that 31-day Proverbs challenge. We are on day 23 of it right now. And many of you are making that simple choice. God, today I'm going to show up. I want to hear from you. And you're developing those. You're putting the reps in, right? And I have also challenged myself not only to read the Bible, but to run 31 days, a 3.1 mile 5K every day. I'm still on it, day 23, and the scale will come out next Sunday. I promised you I would, and it's going to. First week I stepped on the scale, I was 197.5. That's more than I've been in many years. And so I'm going to step on the scale in front of all of you and see what, if those simple choices that we make, if we continue to do them, it makes a difference. Physically, more importantly, spiritually. Week two, we talked about, we watched Jesus step into the ring and go mano a mano versus the enemy, versus the devil. And we learned in that week two that what we need to battle temptation is to have the Word of God locked and loaded in our hearts. That because we devour it and it's in us, then we are ready to combat the enemy when temptations come our way. We need that. Week three, last week, Todd was up here and he talked about how we need a daily, that freshness, that daily fresh meal of God's Word. And if you were here, he made guacamole in front of all of us, right? And I don't know about you, the first time I remember someone said, hey, you need to try this guacamole. And I'm like, looked at this, and I'm like, you just blew your nose in this bowl. Are you kidding me? I am not touching that. But the time I got brave enough to, like, give it a shot, and I realized this is heaven on earth. Like, this is fantastic stuff. But guacamole, Todd said, you know, the next day, it's brown. It looks even more gross, if that's even more possible. But that's how God's word works in us. Like today, this morning, the message that we hear from God, it is fresh. It is something that will nourish us. But by Monday morning, the message that we receive grows stale. And we need again to eat. We need again to devour it. And we need to learn to feed ourselves. Like my boys, when they were really little, and you fed them their meal because they didn't have the motor skills yet to feed themselves. It was really cute. Here comes the airplane. Zzz, here you eat. But if they're doing that at 25 and 30, it's not so cute any longer. And listen, some of us, as we are followers of Jesus, we're baby Christians. We're baby followers of Jesus, and we need others to feed us like we're doing right now. But if you've been a follower of Jesus for 30 years or 20 years or 5 years, and all you're getting is Sunday morning, hey, I'm going to feed you right now, and then you starve yourself through the week, and come the next Sunday morning, and then you gorge yourself again because someone else is feeding you. You need to learn to feed yourself. Eat this book and let God speak directly to you through it. We need to develop that. So today, though, we're calling this message. We talked about the appetizer of eating this book, and maybe the salad edition, and the lunch, or the main course. But today we're going to look at how the Bible was meant by God to be to us like dessert, right? And we're going to talk about dessert. Now, is there anything better than a good dessert? I wonder, what would be your favorite dessert? Something that you, when you think about it, you're craving it even right now. I think I've lost some of you. You're like gone someplace ethereal in your mind. Turn to someone around you right now, and just, if you don't know them, introduce yourself and tell them your favorite dessert and hear their favorite dessert. Go ahead and go. All right, go ahead. All right, that's enough, enough. Kill it, all right. Now, when you talk about dessert, when you preach about a message called dessert, I mean, it demands an object lesson, right? So, is there any, waiter? Can I get some help here? Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. Oh, that's what we got here. All right, so I've heard about these. Some peace, love, and little donuts, which, you know, thank you. You can take these flowers out of here. A little too girly for me. Want to get this? I don't want. Careful. I didn't even. Thank you. Right. That's enough. You're not getting a tip. All right. So what do we got here? All right. Oh, man. Holy cow. I can feel the weight coming on already. I'm going to run harder today. These are Fruity Pebble donuts. This is the bacon and what is that on the maple and bacon. Nice. Oh man. Reese peanut butter cup. Yeah, you got that. I got that. Yeah, very good. We got a Boston cream. Yes. Okay. You liking this? Okay. Yeah, this little cherry pie. That'd be my wife's favorite, I think. The cherry pie one there. She likes those. This one has the funnest name, at least. This is the Robert Brulee. The Robert Brulee. And then an Oreo topping one here. I think everything else here is a double, something like that. So you know what? Because I'm a little kind right now, I'm going to give one here to an NP. You can choose one to split here. Since you do sit towards the front, the people in the back, sorry about your luck, all right? You're going for the cherry pie?
Oh, no.
Ah! You can have one too. What would you choose? What would you choose? The Reese peanut butter cup? There you go. My girl. Good stuff. All right, now that I've completely lost you here, I'm going to be a little mean here because I'm going to take a bite of one of these things. Which one should I try? Which one was the most exciting to you? I've not had any of these before, huh? The Reese cup? All right, I like Reese cup. That you like it? Oh man, I'm a genius. I get to do this in front of other people. This is so mean. I'm not a genius. A genius would have had milk up here. That is really good. Oh my goodness. Don't talk with your mouth full. All right. Like sugar buzz going on in my head right now. So let me ask you this, and be honest. Wow. I'm not going to have a moment here. So, if the Bible were a food, in your mind, what kind of food would it be? What do you think? I love it. That's exactly where I was going. Yes, I think if we were honest, we would go, yeah, the Bible is a green vegetable. You know, it's spinach, it's broccoli, it's peas, it's lima beans. I mean, listen, my mom and dad made me eat lima beans. My wife, her mom and dad made her eat lima beans. We have kids of our own. We do not force lima beans on them. There are no lima beans in our house because we love them. We love our kids. I'm just saying that if in the Garden of Eden, if on that tree were lima beans, sin never would have happened. Eve would have been like, you want me to do what? No, thank you. I'm good. But I think a lot of us, when we think of the Bible, we think of it as a green vegetable. Something that I know I gotta have, I gotta eat it, but I'm not gonna like it. Mom told me I have to do it, but I'm gonna choke it down. And I know it's healthy, but I'm not going to enjoy it. But I wanna show you today, what I believe God is gonna wrap up this message with today is how the Bible should be something we crave, like a peace, love, and little donuts. I really do. Because here's the thing. There is a Jewish holiday. And the reason why you hear us up here teaching sometimes, we talk about the Jewish holiday, you're like, wait, why are they talking about this Jewish thing? How does it connect? Because a lot of the Bible actually connects in the Jewish faith. That the roots of things are in the Jewish faith. The Old Testament, 70% of our Bible is, if you went to a Jewish friend and said, hey, can I see your holy scriptures? They would give you basically the Old Testament, right? Jesus himself came out of the Jew. He was a Jew. A lot of the people who were in the New Testament were Jewish people. So when I talk about it, that's why we do that. There is a Jewish holiday called Shavuot. Say that with me. Say Shavuot. Okay, this is a very, it happens every year. This is one of the least known Jewish holidays, but it is theologically packed and a very important holiday to the Jewish people. What it commemorates is the giving of the law of God to the people of Israel. And when I say the book of the law of God, I'm talking about the first five books of the Bible, the first five books known as the Torah. All right, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So they celebrate the Shavuot by the God giving us the law of God. And so here's what they do on Shavuot. Part of the meal, part of this big celebration. They take their children and they present the child to the rabbi. And they wrap the child in a prayer shawl. And then the rabbi will see them. And the rabbi will go to the child and he'll bring them a slate, right? A slate. And on the slate is etched the Hebrew alphabet, usually a Bible verse of some kind from the Torah. And then also these words spoken as a blessing to the child. This is the words, may the law of God be your occupation. And then the rabbi will say the words, will repeat the words on the slate, and the child will then repeat them. And then the rabbi does something really, really interesting. He takes honey, and he puts it all over the slate and hands it to the child, and the child will then just take its fingers and just eat the honey off of the slate. Now, that may not sound appetizing to you. You might go like, that sounds sticky. I have no interest in doing that. But when you think about the Bible days, the days of Jesus and before, and how the honey was one of the finest delicacies, and they didn't have like a candy store to go to of all the different types of candies. Honey was the sweetest most kind of candy thing to a child. Why would they do this? What does this even mean? Why would they take all this time to do this? Because God wants his people from childhood on to know and to understand the words from this psalm here in Psalm 119. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. See, God's intention was not for his word, for the Bible, to be anything close to spinach or broccoli or peas or lima beans. But for God, his intention for his words to be is peace, love, and little donuts, for real. Now, if you've been here, amen. I mean, that's good stuff. If you've been here for the series, you probably remember in week two when we looked at Jesus going into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy, by the devil. One of the words that Jesus had hidden in his heart that he combated the devil when he was tempted is he said from Deuteronomy when he said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word from the mouth of God." And in the New Testament, this is kind of confusing, but there are two different words for the word word, right? That's hard to say even. Two different words for the word word. In the English language, we have one word, word, word up. And then word in the Greek language, there's two. The first one is the word logos, all right? Now, repeat that, logos. Logos, all right? And what logos means is it is the unique expression of God's heart and mind. All right, so when you read, how do I explain this? Okay, let's say this. If you were to write an autobiography, a book about you, you would download some data about yourself in this book, stories that happened when you were a child, just different experiences that you've had in your life. That autobiography would be your logos. Ever since 2006, I've had a blog, and it's shifted all over the place in different ways, and I don't blog nearly as much as I used to blog, but I have a blog called daddymatt.com, and basically it's like a dad blog, just my life, kind of with my kids and my experiences as a dad, and every October when their birthdays, I write a birthday letter, a birthday blog to each of my boys, just calling out the things that I see in them, and kind of as a blessing over them, that I look forward to when they're even like 30 and 35, looking back at this and reading different things I thought about them when they were 3 or 8 or maybe 20, you know, that kind of thing. But if you go through this, it's not very interactive. You'll know a lot about me, but it's not like we're having a conversation. That's a logos kind of an idea. It's my expression of my heart, my thoughts, my mind. And so when you read God's word, you're going to learn a lot about him and what he expects from us, but it's not very, logos is not very conversational. Now, the other word in the Greek language for word is the word rhema. Say rhema. Rhema. All right, rhema is when someone speaks directly to someone else. So rhema is not an autobiography. It's not just a blog. It's like if I sent you a text message, right? Not a group text, just you. It's like if I sent an email or we sat down at this table and shared donuts together and had a conversation. That's rhema. That's rhema. And so we have two different words here. We have the word logos, refers to the unique expression of God's heart and mind, and we have the word rhema, which refers to someone speaking directly to you. Now, for a lot of people, the Bible is never rhema. It's just logos. Because you can read God's word and you can learn about him. A lot of people know a lot of Bible. They might even believe what they read, but they don't believe that God would ever speak to them through it. It's not rhema, it's just logos. And some of you may have had a rhema experience, and maybe you didn't even know it, because sometimes people will come up to me after a church service, and this has happened even here over the last 2 months, where I heard one person say, "You know what, I didn't even want to come to church today. I was sitting in my bed and going, I know I probably should go, but I don't really want to go. You have all this stuff going on in my life." And I went, and it was like the message today was exactly what I needed to hear. It was like God was speaking directly to me. You know what that's called? It's called Rhema. God is speaking to your heart through His Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you. And when God encounters us through these pages, it's not like spinach. It is like the greatest thing ever. Something like, God, you just did this. I want you to do that more. I want to hear from you. I need it. I crave it. It's like dessert. Let me give you a couple personal experiences of when the Bible has become Rhema to me. All right, so there is a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 that says this. It says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So the written word of God tells us that God has created each of us uniquely, specifically with differently, but that God has created us with certain world-changing things that only you can do. Hear that. That God has created you with difference-making abilities that only you can do. No one else. That's the Logos, the Word of God saying, this is my mind, this is my heart, this is what I expect of my people. I've always loved that verse, but when I was a sophomore in high school, I mean, I had my plans in place. I wanted to go to some communication school so I could be on SportsCenter, ESPN someday, calling sports highlights. That's what I wanted to do. And I'm at a week of church camp, right? In this small little camp near Dayton, Ohio. And it was there that I just felt God's presence like none other time in my life, where I felt like He was speaking to me. And in my gut, this verse became like, it leapt off the page. And it was like God was saying, Matt, I have a plan for you to help many people come to know to me, to help people find their way back to me. With church leadership and your plan of being an ESPN Sports Center, you're going to put that aside. My plan for you is this. And when God speaks to you in such a way where that ground became like holy ground to me, it's better than vegetables. It's something you crave. It is like dessert. Another time is when my wife and I, we were just beginning to date, and we knew where this was going early on. We knew that we were going to be married, and we believed that God was calling us to build our family through adoption. That if we ever had kids of our own, you know, physically, then that's great. But we believed that God was saying, I want you to build your family through adoption. And in this verse from Proverbs 31, which we're going to read here in about a week in our own study time, Proverbs 31 says this: "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless, and see that they get justice." You know, there was another verse where when we were in Taiwan adopting our oldest son, Chase, we were in this little office, and we were just signing paperwork, very sterile environment, and the director of the orphanage, Ted Skiles, he looked over at me as I'm signing these documents, and he said, "Do you know what you're doing right now is that you are becoming more like God the Father? He is the Father to the fatherless." That's what the scriptures say. And it was like that Rhema word. Think of that. This is the Logos, that God is the Father to the fatherless, but now it's becoming real in my life, and He's speaking it into my life through Mr. Skiles, who's saying, "You are becoming more like God in this very moment." And in those moments, those words from Psalm, it was like the word from Psalm again, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, maybe you've been to a church before that, because sometimes we go, there's Logos, there's Rhema, and we tend to go, you know what, Logos is really more important than Rhema. Like, all I want is one of those things. I don't need both of those things. I just want one of those things. And there are some churches, maybe you've attended one before, that they really elevate the Rhema. And during the service, someone in the congregation will stand up and be like, "I've just received a word from God." And so everything halts, and that person stands up and says, "I don't even know what this means, but donuts, God's saying donuts. I'm like, well, maybe you're saying right now that I should give these donuts out to everybody? I'm like, no, but second service needs these too, and you're in first service. I can't do that. But that can be super dangerous. It can be super dangerous. Matter of fact, here's what the Bible says in 1 John 4:1. It says, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. See, God knows that there are influences around us that are not always meant for our good intentions. Like, he knows the enemy. We saw it in week 2. The enemy is out there. The Bible says he is like a lion stalking the earth, looking for someone to devour. And sometimes how he comes at us looks really spiritual. It looks really spiritual. But he is taking us away from aligning our lives with God. There are people who don't have your best interest at heart who might come up to you and have come up to me and said, I have a word from God for you. But behind it is laced with their own personal agendas. I mean, I've had stupid, crazy ideas before where at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking up going, was that an epiphany from God? Oh my goodness, that dream I just had. And then 7 o'clock comes rolling around and I have my first cup of coffee and I'm like, that was the dumbest thing in the world. That wasn't God. That was the questionable tacos I had last night. How do we know when we read the Bible, when we journaling our thoughts, when we're praying and we have these thoughts, how do we know, is it really from God or not? How do we know, as the Bible says, test it? How do we test it? I'm going to give you a few ways that we can test it, that these are proven ways. Number one is this. Does it agree with the Bible? Does it agree with the Bible? See, God does not contradict himself. He is not going to put something in the Bible and then tell you to do something that completely contradicts it. That's not going to happen. In Luke 21, verse 33, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I had a friend of mine in college. We were talking one time in the dorm, and we're talking about, you know, probably girls and stuff, and it came up, and he said, you know, Matt, the girl I've been dating, I really believe she's the one that God is called me to be with, and we're going to get married, and just know it. So, I mean, I really think that it's okay for us to have sex because I have a real peace about it. And I'm going, okay, well, you have a peace about it. That you're saying that's coming from God, because here's what I know, because the Bible pretty much explains God's heart and design on this, that God has given us sex as this awesome, unbelievable gift, but in the context of a good to the grave commitment between a man and a woman as husband and wife. That you're saying you have a peace about it, that God's given you this, when God has already spoken on this. So the first thing we can ask ourselves is what I think God is telling me right now, does it agree, does it align itself with God's word? The second one is this. Does it make me more like Jesus? If I do this, does it make me more like Jesus? Philippians 2:5 says, in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. See, one of the great things about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, doesn't just point to the fact that Jesus died for us. I mean, that's great. But Jesus also lived for us. And we can watch how Jesus lived his life. And we watch how he loved. How he loved even his enemies. How he treated others. He was willing to be interrupted, his schedule, by other people so that he could love them. He was generous with people. He loved the little children. He was a person who made sure he made time for kids and make sure that he knew that they were loved. He describes his priorities, and it gives us an incredible model of how we are to live our lives. So when we hear these things from God or we're reading God's word and is God calling me to do this? Well, if I do this, will it make me look more like Jesus? Well, if so, then it's a good chance that this is from God. And number three, is it consistent with how God designed me? We looked at that verse already in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are God's workmanship, that we are created to do good works, which God had already prepared for us to do. God's not going to call you to do something that is outside of your giftedness. He's not. He's going to He's created you for these reasons. Romans 12:6 says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So you may be a great teacher. You may be a great artist or musician. You may be someone who just makes... When you have a conversation with someone, that person always leaves going, man, I just feel encouraged. You are that. You are a cheerleader in their life, and you just love to speak encouragement into people. You may love to teach children. You may be someone who is a great leader. You know, God's given us... Isn't it great that God has given us all such a diversity? We have different cultures, different races, different personalities. Some of us are extroverted. Some of us are introverted. We have different life experiences. You have gone through maybe some really tough things that someone else in this room will go through one day. And because you went through it, you're going to be able to help them to go through it. Some of us have gone through the years of raising children. Some of us, that's not even a thought in our heads yet. And when it's all of this is added together, you start to get a glimpse of what being a part of the church is all about. Does it agree with the Bible? Will it make me look more like Jesus? And is it consistent with how God has designed me? And I'm going to throw in one more just for free. And it's this, that we should seek out godly and wise counsel. Because when you become a follower of Jesus, not only do you get a new relationship with God, but you also get a new relationship with others, the church. And you are surrounded by people right now, a lot of people in this room who have gone where you are going. And you can go to them and say, listen, I just need your advice in this situation right now. And they will tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. Just like my friend in the dorm room where I could have said, you know what, you have a piece about it. I'm your friend, I'm your buddy. You should absolutely go and do that. Instead of saying, you know what, as your friend, and we both follow Jesus, this is what I think God wants me to tell you right now. And I'm not telling you this to hurt you or to pour water on you, cold water on you, or anything like that. I'm here right now as your friend, as your brother in Christ. Proverbs 10:21. This is a verse we read just about a week ago. It says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Let me say this in closing. If you have never experienced a personal rhema word for God, you know, maybe you don't, God, he can really speak to me. Yes, I believe he wants to. And it happens when we eat this. When we eat this book, the living God, the God of the universe, will encounter you on these pages. And after a while, you'll understand you're not just reading this, but it's reading you. And God will jump off the pages and speak right to your heart. And that's what I've been praying for you as you've been going through the book of Proverbs, or as you take the next step, and maybe you want to read about Jesus and read through the book of John or Luke, or maybe even take the challenge that Todd threw out, reading the Bible for a one calendar year. But I believe God, if you draw near to God, he will 100% draw near to you. Because God is crazy about you. He stops at nothing to make himself known to us. This past week, we were all riveted on the news as we've been watching what's been going on in Thailand, where these children, these boys, were trapped in a cave. And some of the news articles made it seem pretty grim, that this is not going to end well. And the entire world, I mean, was trying to figure out solutions. And we watched these people rescue and give everything that they have. One man even gave his life, making sure they could get oxygen tanks to these children. And as I read these, I was thinking about being a father on the outside of that cave, having my son be in that cave, and just the horror that would be. But it also made me think about how God, the lengths that he would go when we needed to be the ones rescued because of our sin. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. All of us deserve death. But God says, you know what? I love them so much. This is going to cost me. To make a way for them to get back to me, it's going to cost me, and it's going to cost me my own son. And God gave everything so that we could have a new relationship with him and that our sin could be gone because of what Jesus did on that cross. So every Sunday we come to Discovery and we take the bread and the juice as a way to remember, to commemorate, and celebrate God's awesome rescue plan for us. So at this time, would you just take a moment of reflection and the band's playing, and when you're ready and you said thank you and just remember Jesus. And if you've never, if you don't know who Jesus is and you're here just kind of exploring, you can just sit and just meditate, pray. Maybe God's even speaking to you right now. You can just hang as we take of the Lord's Supper at this time. Let me pray. God, you're good. We love you. Thank you for bridging time and space to meet with us. That God, you're not somewhere out there, but you are so near to us and to those of us who follow Jesus that we have you even in our hearts. Your presence never leaves us. And so, Father, right now, as we take this kind of personal time, but also we're celebrating all together as a family, this meal that we're about to share, would you just speak to our hearts, and even if it's just the words, you are my child, even if you were the only person who needed rescued, I would have sent my son for you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.